Have you ever had someone come to you, or perhaps you haven't seen them for a while, and they look at you and say, "You look just like," and they name somebody? You know, for years, Dorothy and I would go to attend the church where my mom and dad would attend over in Newcastle. And just about every time, we'd have one or two people come up to me and say, "You look just like your dad." And I'd always say, "Please don't insult my dad like that." I have a picture of my grandfather, John Pratt. That'd be my biological grandfather. He was probably 18, maybe 19 years old. So that would have been about 18, 19, somewhere in that neighborhood. We have a picture of our son, John Michael. Most of you here know him. When he was about 18, 19 years old, if you put those two pictures together, you would come up and you would say, "Are those the same people?" Just about the only difference that you could see between those two pictures was my grandfather's picture was black and white and our son was colored. They look so much alike that you would think that they were twins. And again, how many have ever told you that you resemble a family member? You know, beyond the physical resemblances, the families also share resemblances of values, mannerisms, speech. Dorothy and I were coming home, I believe, from Kokomo Thursday, I think we went to the store, and I'm driving, and I look down at my hand. That's my dad's hand. Most of you could probably look at some feature of yourself and see your parents. But beyond these resemblances of we have in our physical families, as a child of God, people ought to see a family resemblance between us and our Heavenly Father. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the world, when they see us, should see Jesus? There is a great need for us as God's children to show a family resemblance. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Most of you know these verses. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, granted, we all understand that this does not mean that we look exactly like God. But we should show the mannerisms and the values of God. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Since we are a creation of God, should we not have the very image of God? We were made in the image of God. But you know what happened? Sin happened. Sin marred and distorted our likeness of God. But you know what? Jesus came to restore that image. And please, I don't want anybody thinking I'm looking down over my glasses at you all. It's because I can't see with my glasses on. You all are blurry. But now you're in focus, okay? But I need them to read. Jesus came to restore our image. Sin caused us to lose the image that we were created with. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, we read this. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And then Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And then in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In John chapter 14 and verse 9, Philip had a problem. He asked Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. Philip was sincere. You know what Jesus said? Jesus basically told Philip this. He that hath seen me has seen the Father. What a great example of being the expressed image of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. If you've seen me, then you should see Jesus Christ for us today. When the world sees us, do they see us as worldly people or godly people? When we go out and about, do those that we know, those that we are acquainted with, do they see Jesus in us? You know, just as my grandfather and my son look so much alike that you really, if it wasn't for the age of my grandfather's picture and the age of my son's picture, you would think that they were the same person. That's how the world should see us. They should see Jesus in us. Just as Philip asked Jesus, show us the Father, Jesus' answer, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. And for us as Christians today, those that are acquainted with us, they should see Jesus in us. There is a great need for a family resemblance. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. If we are being conformed to the image of his Son, then when the world looks at us, they see Jesus. That's what he's saying. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that word there, predestinate, does not mean that some are chosen and some are not. That's not what it's talking about. It's to determine or foreordain the image to be like, to look like, not in features, but more in action and attitude. Look at Acts chapter 4 in verse 13 that Brother Tony read just a few moments ago. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They marveled. They were astounded that these ignorant and unlearned men had such knowledge. And then they said there that they took knowledge knowing that they had been with Jesus because of Peter and because of John being with Christ. Even after Christ's death, they could see Jesus in these two men. Should not the world see Jesus in us? There's a great need for a family resemblance. So what's the nature of our family resemblance? What's the nature of it? You know, we can look at our physical families and, you know, just like my grandfather and my son, you know, they have the nature of their, you know, resemblances. They had the same features. Now, I never knew my grandfather Pratt because he died in 1955 when I was only 10 months old. But I assume that he's probably pretty much like me. Therefore, pretty much like my son. I have his facial features somewhat. You know, on the Ankrum side, everybody had real straight pointy noses. Well, I don't, because I got it from my grandfather Pratt. So when we look at our lives as Christians, what is the nature of our resemblance? All right, let's take a look again here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Their mannerisms, their talk, what they taught, how they taught, led these men to believe that, hey, they've been with Jesus. And then we read in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. If we don't show love, how is the world going to see Jesus? If we don't show compassion and understanding, how are people in the world going to see Jesus through us? Jesus himself says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. If the world comes in here, we have a visitor that's not a member of the body of Christ, and they see fussing and fighting and angry people, do you truly believe they want to be a part of this body? Probably not. They'll probably walk out that door and say, man, I'll never go back there again. But one of the key features of our resemblance of Jesus Christ is our love. We all love somebody, don't we? Should we not love everybody? Are we not told to love our enemies? Do good to those who persecute us? That's showing our resemblance to Jesus Christ. And then we can read over in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. Oh, I love Jesus. But you know, I just can't stand them people over there in that church. Oh, I love Jesus, but I don't think it's really all necessary to go by what the Bible says. Yeah, I understand. I love Jesus. And I seen a bumper sticker one time, and I think I even done a sermon on it. Honk if you love Jesus. What in the world does that got to do with love? I don't understand. I could never understand that bumper sticker. But you know, you'd hear people going beep, beep, beep. And those people no more truly loved Jesus. Because why? Because they've not keeping his word. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Did you catch that? God's going to love us if what? We keep Jesus' word. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And then we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Obedience. Did you see that? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. Obedience. Being obedient. That's showing our resemblance to the Father. Because was not Jesus obedient? Even obedient to the death on the cross? Should we not also be obedient to show our likeness, our resemblance? Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And then we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Brothers and sisters, that's not talking. This is literally, so be ye holy in all manner of your life. How you live. We want to resemble Jesus Christ, then be holy in all manners of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If we truly, truly want to resemble Jesus Christ, then we must show our love, our compassion, our understanding, our willingness. We should live in obedience to God's word. We must be holy because he's holy. And then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. This is perhaps one of the hardest things for man to do. And it's sad because many times this is one of the hardest things for Christians to do. Too many times we hold grudges. Too many times we alienate ourselves away from or against a brother or sister because of what was said or what was done years ago. You know, not yesterday, but 20 years ago. Forbearing one another, holding one another up, forbearing one another, literally, when people are upset with you, what do? You forbear with them. When people are angry, when people say mean things, what are we supposed to do? He says there, and forgiving one another, If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. We are to forgive. That's our job. But too many times we become so angry and full of hate. Yeah, I said that. Full of hate that we don't forgive. Even if the person comes to you and says, I'm sorry, please forgive me. What's our mentality? What do we say a lot of times? Well, yeah, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it. Think about your marriage. I think just about everyone here married or had been. Well, except maybe the couple in the back. Hopefully that's not going to be for a few years. What would happen if your wife or your husband done something that really hurt you? And they come to you and they plead with you and they beg with you, I am sorry, forgive me, I should not have said, should not have done, I've broken your trust. How would you feel if your spouse would say, well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it? Let me ask you this. When we became a child of God, when we were baptized and we were brought up as new creatures, we were forgiven of all sin, were we not? Do you think God's up there saying, well, yep, you've done what I've said, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget all of the sins that you've done? No, 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 no. That's not what it said. That's not what God does. He tells us, and your sins I will remember no more. Brothers and sisters, if we want to look like Jesus Christ, then we need to forgive and remember no more. Human beings, that's the hardest thing for us to do. We don't tend to forget. But here's the thing. When someone sins against us, no matter what, and they come to me or you and they say, I've sinned, please forgive me, I should not have said, I should not have done, I should not have acted, whatever. We say, I forgive you. As humans, it's hard for us to block it out. But you know what true forgiveness would be? Never bringing that up to that person again. But too many times, just in marriage, it's hard sometimes. Because you get in an argument, you get into a misunderstanding, and the first thing is, well, I remember when you did this or you done that 25 years ago, you said... That's not forgiveness. 'Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. How did Christ forgive us? By dying on the cross, shedding his blood. He did not ask us to repent, did he? After his death, yes. But he did not say, I'll die for you only if. He did it in complete obedience to the Father. There is a great need for family resemblance. And we've looked at the nature of our family resemblance. Love, obedience, holiness, forgiveness. So how do we improve our look-alike? How do we improve our family resemblance? It's very simple, and I'm going to share it with you right now. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3, 16 and 17. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, how do we improve our resemblance? By study. By studying God's word. Am I right? Secondly, we need to surround ourselves with godly influence. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. We looked at this in class this morning. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. If we want to grow and improve our family resemblance to God, to our Savior Jesus Christ, then we need to surround ourselves with godly influences, with our brothers and sisters, with godly things, and not worldly. But you know what? Too many times we don't have enough time in the day because of all of the things that we try to want to do, and we put God at the bottom of the list, and then we're so tired at night, we can't read, we can't pray, so we just want to go to bed, go to sleep, and it starts all over the next day. Surrounding ourselves with godly influences. Then in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? We need to acknowledge God's goodness towards us. Study your Bible. Surround yourself with godly influences. And acknowledging God's goodness. That's how we improve our family resemblance. You know, when we're talking about improving our family resemblance, it's not talking about our physical image. We can't change, well, I guess you can with plastic surgery these days, but you can't really change your features. But you can change your attitude. You can change your heart. You can change your mind and be more godlike. One of the things I love about the church is that we are a family and we resemble each other in so far as we resemble the Father. And you know what's even greater? When we are in unfamiliar territory, we go on a vacation. We pull into the church building and go into worship with our brothers and sisters that we've never seen in the day of our life. But we're going in and being with family, God's family. When we are in unfamiliar territory, it's comforting to find someone who is like us. I don't care where you go. If it is a true body of Christ, they're going to be welcoming. They're going to treat you as a brother or a sister. You know, as we leave here today and go back into the world, let's remember these two things. Two. Number one, we're not alone. Number two, we have a family. Each and every one of you here today, do you see each of us as a family, part of your family? I believe we have a mission. Our mission is to make it evident that God is our Father and Jesus Christ is our Savior. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, then you're outside of the family. And if you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, would you come and join the family? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see in your life that you've not been living faithful, and you like the prayers of the saints, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow.